Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Okay, guys, I have a little bit of rough news for you.
Oh, God.
I did only make it through one season of The X-Files this week.
Oh, no!
So that is a little bit of a downgrade.
How's your mental state? Better? Worse?
I think it is worse. So yeah. I guess the X-Files was healing me.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll do that.
I'm going to have to up my game again this week. What about you guys? Did you do more than me this week?
I started rewatching Supernatural.
Leah.
Yeah.
How many episodes? Is it more than the 8 that you'd seen the other night?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Leah. How many?
Just finished episode 20.
And how many days ago did you begin watching Supernatural?
Oh no.
2.
Oh no, Leah. Wow.
When I confess this to you guys in my safe space, I acknowledged that no one was going to like to hear it. I said no one's going to like to hear what I am saying next.
And but did we like to hear it?
It is cold. Mm-mm. I am tired. I cannot absorb new information or meet new people.
It's a cruel, hard world. What choice do any of us have but to watch Supernatural?
I got kicked off my family Netflix account, and I was just gonna watch the pilot, and then I got mad that I couldn't access the pilot, so I pirated the entire first season, and so that
sure
so, you know actually like Netflix kicking me out made this happen.
Netflix is kind of a girl math explanation for. There. So in a way, I'm saving brain cells by watching Supernatural. Anne, do you have any destructive, debilitating winter behaviors that you want to reveal at this time?
I've been watching like a lot of Law and Order SVU. I just watched an episode where
this has been going on for a while, so we're not surprised.
No.
But I wouldn't say we're thrilled either.
No, it's bad. I just watched an episode ripped from the headlines about CTE. It's from like 2011, 2012.
Oh, no.
So it was really, yeah, you can't hold a football player responsible for, I won't say the bad crimes he did, but.
That's good. That, yeah,
they
let's not
great.
Say them. Well, we won't say them here. No.
Reruns of the show do run mid-afternoon on TNT, but I'll keep it to myself.
It's kind of an underlying problem of our country that we're not talking about enough. It's like maybe if we were running fewer mid-afternoon Law & Order SVU episodes, we could as a nation begin to heal.
Yeah,
a little.
I think that's right.
Take that one to Congress. I'm sure they're going to love to hear it right now. Okay, well, so everyone here is thriving. We have a couple. Oh, Leah, yeah?
No, I was just going to say, do you think that's a normal way to open a wrestling podcast?
Just confessions.
Is there a cat behind you?
The door just started opening slowly.
Open, like you got a little supernatural ghosty in there.
There's a closet door behind me that the cats like to hide in the bottom of the closet at every... Mm. Time I stand up, I shut the closet doors, and they take that as a personal affront.
Mm.
Okay. Well, I liked it was thematic, for sure. What were you asking me, Leah?
If the last 10 minutes is a normal way to start a wrestling podcast.
As normal as every week, you know? It's like if we jump right into the wrestling, like, that just feels so sick. So you want us to just get on here and start talking graps?
And I thought us... I started listening to a podcast about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and the host had a full 30 minutes of chit-chat time before they cut to the chase and started talking about the topic, so I think we're being very restrained.
I'm quite honest.
I'd like to pause right now. When we asked you to confess humiliating behaviors, I think listening to a podcast about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City maybe should come up.
Producer Marjorie recommended it, and actually this happened several weeks ago before the time change, so actually it's even more
troubling. So I've
actually
been suffering in this way for quite some time.
It's not a new humiliation, Leah. Ongoing.
Ongoing.
Wow, and how many episodes of that have you listened to?
Actually, just the one, because I kept skipping forward and being like, they're still talking about math class? Like, when does the Real Housewives start? I don't know them yet, so I'm not charmed yet by their
I know, chit-chat. It's like you really do have to be like, you have to get to the point where you're like, yeah, of course I know they're going to talk about Smallville or Supernatural or Everwood or Law & Order SVU for 10 minutes before they actually talk about the subject of the podcast.
I hope this is somebody's first episode where they're like, I was told this was a wrestling
and I turned it off.
podcast.
They hear that and they're like, I don't know you yet, bitch. Like 20 episodes of Supernatural.
Listen, it'd be that way sometimes.
We all survive daylight savings time disorientation our own ways.
But I think, in a way, have we not demonstrated that we have healthy, active minds because we're taking in all this outside media that feeds and enriches our understanding of the wrestling product?
It allows us to make so many metaphors. We can say
connections.
Yeah. Unlike those wrestling podcasts that only know wrestling business.
We can say great stuff like, you know what this reminds me of? That one episode of Supernatural.
We can say, sometimes you watch Beer Bad and not even say what TV show that is because we all watched Buffy last year and we talked about Beer Bad at the time, so probably our devoted listeners would remember
that. They follow our references. They're fine.
I guess that's also like, I do kind of think like, surely all citizens of planet Earth know about Beer Bad.
Well, they should.
That's culture.
Certainly. That's culture.
That's actually culture. So
get cultured.
We got a couple of announcements before we talk about the
wrestling. Yeah, we're still not talking about the wrestling, BT.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. This one might run a little long, I have to guess. But so the announcements up front. First of all, we're very excited to tell you that we have, God knows how, finagled Rich Latta from One Nation Radio into agreeing to do a special guest episode with us so that we can talk about all our opinions that we have that are shared and our opinions that we have that are not shared and just enter into a dialogue. And I'm literally so excited.
I know. I'm really so excited about it.
Rich is great. I'm so excited he's going to come on.
Yeah, we are thrilled. We can't wait to talk to him. We'll keep you updated on that over the course of the next few weeks. That'll be sometime in early December. So we are very excited about that. And the second announcement is that a wonderful listener reached out to both to us and to our sorority sister podcast, Waffly Bollocks, and offered to donate some. Now, what are these called? Metal cards. Metallic.
AW metal.
AW metal trading cards. So that we can do a giveaway. These cards do look extremely cool. We didn't know what they were because we're not cool. But we looked at them. They are really cool.
We literally had to be like, could you send us a picture of what you're talking about?
Show us the cards. It's like old lady. Show us the cards.
And then his name is... You use these to trade? Is that correct?
And the listener's name is Tony Polfield, I believe. I believe that's the Twitter name. And he sent us a picture. And I think we all went, oh, those are nice.
Yeah. They're very cool.
Those are beautiful cards. So Tony did something that I love, which is he has divided the cards into a couple of different pack categories. So there's a meat division brawlers pack. That's got to be your big beef boys. There's a for the girlies, silly little guys pack. And I can't wait to find out which little guys are in there. And then there's a random assortment pack. And honestly, I can't wait to find out who made it into the random assortment pack too.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit like a burn.
But in your other.
Uncategorizable. Complimentary.
It would be like so much fun if you like just did that as a quiz where you're like, hey, you, here's the AEW personnel. Sort them into those three genders.
I kind of wish that people would make just more sorting games that aren't, it's not that there's a right answer. It's like, just sort. There's a site for that, right? Sort. Sportle. Okay. So anyway, so we are going to post a Google form that you can fill out if you are interested in receiving a pack of these cards. And I believe the drawing will take place in a couple weeks. I'm sure we'll post it on our socials.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Look everywhere. Yeah, first week of December. But yeah, you don't have to do anything. Totally free. Tony's awesome.
He's very nice. If you sign up for it, you should tell him a nice compliment for being a nice guy.
Thank you so much, Tony. And thank you to all of you for listening. And I hope you get some cards.
Yeah.
Again, they're beautiful. They look high
quality.
Beautiful
cards.
To me, they look high quality. Okay. So now we'll talk about the wrestling. Or we could double back and talk about Supernatural, X-Files, and Law & Order SVU some more. But the plan that I did have for us, so Full Gear is this weekend, and what will happen there, I think we all have questions about. So what we're going to be doing tonight is we are running through the list of matches that we have announced for Full Gear. We'll talk about what's been going on with those storylines. We'll make some predictions that surely will be stupid and jost in a matter of days. And we'll just have a good time. Does that sound okay?
It does. It is going to be our very classic situation where if you are new in the first 10 minutes, but this is Thursday night. And so we are going to make our predictions on Thursday night. This episode will air on Sunday.
Yeah.
You will have seen the pay-per-view.
You will have seen it.
It's Saturday. So this episode for you will be like, well, those girls were wrong. And now again. And that
usually
was wrong.
We at least slide in under the the line on Sunday morning, but you're right, the pay-per-view's on Saturday. Okay. So
I hate Saturday day pay-per-views for that reason, but
yeah.
We'll just easily make our predictions anyways.
Yeah. Well, we have no choice.
I mean, we're also often wrong about the past, so, you know.
Even if we had the knowledge, we still wouldn't be right, so.
That is such a good point. With us, you know we're going to be wrong one way or another, so this is no different. It's kind of interesting and exciting. Like, we're time traveling. Nope, okay, let's move on. So, I don't know why I decided to start with, I guess it was first on the list. Okay, so, number one match, we have this tag team four-way between Big Bill and Ricky Starks, who have the belts. I can't hold it in my mind. They are the tag team belt holders. They are holding the belts. And they will be fighting FTR, Brody King, and Malakai Black, the Kings of the Black Throne. Remember when we liked that? And we were like, that's so sweet and gay.
I know. Miss it.
And La Faction and Gobernable, that's Strelistico and Rouge. So we didn't watch Collision this week. Losing cred as colliders. But I did go look up how this match happened. And I want to read a line from Manolo. The tag team title picture was fleshed out for Full Gear. And it's a crock of bullshit. Mm. Let's lay out the scene as it played out on television. Then I'll explain why it is pure poppycock.
Manolo Thesaurus boy.
He just has a way with words that like so many people covet, you know?
That just is kind of beautiful.
Sounds like something AI wrote a little bit. And
it does, but this week was a real like, it was like colored by kind of an evil British uncle character who's like, or like you don't know if he's evil, but you're like, he's so cool, but sometimes he scares me a little. Like that, the vibe that he was getting. So, according to Manolo, what's happening here is that House of Black have been pursuing the titles because they said that winning the belts will force FTR to chase them because they want to fight FTR so bad.
Sure.
Okay, very romantic. Big Bill and Ricky answered the challenge and were like, we don't want to fight you and we don't care about you. And actually, Big Bill said this thing that I thought was crazy. And I loved it. He said, you come up to us at catering at the coffee bar, we skedaddle. We scoop.
That's delightful.
That's great. I mean, rescue Big Bill, Big you deserve Bill. Better.
Big Bill deserves so much better than whatever's happening here.
He needs a new owner. So, okay, so FDR do want the belts back. Oh, but then Tony was like, no, you do have to do the match. Great. So, and then FTR want the belts back, so I guess they put themselves in the match. And then Rush and Drillistico are also in the match.
And this is for the belt, right? It's not for the shot at the belt?
For
the
no, it's belt. For the belts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's for the belts, so.
Cool. Remember when the tag division was enjoyable? Feels like so long ago.
I know.
Manolo said this week, he said, this feels like such a rush job, so much so that it negates the stories in the tag team division. What story? We haven't had a story in the tag team division in, these many years.
Oh, the siloing of Collision really has been an issue that has, just continue an ongoing problem.
Yet another thing that we may not be able to reckon with for quite some time. Mm.
Read this next quote from Manolo, because I do want to talk about it.
Oh, if Starks and Bill lose, do you like how many I included this week? I just couldn't stop.
Well, it's just because, like, it is both shocking and you need someone else to, like, agree that it's shocking. And it's just the words he chooses that you're just like, Manolo, like, where did you come from?
Wow. If Starks and Bill lose, it robs us of a moment. They are such rapscallions that a title change deserves a singular focus to get their comeuppance.
The first thing I liked about that is that he called them Starks and Bill as if their first name were Ricky and Dick.
I mean, he may be right. If someone told me that was true.
Secondly, I think that I agree with him. I, like, probably never in a million years would have typed those words that way. I would probably not have called them rapscallions. But the thing is that, like, okay, so Sarah and Trish talked about this on their pod, so I'm kind of stealing it because I actually didn't watch Collision. But, like, Big Bill was on commentary at some point, and he actively said, I think it was on Rampage, he actively said, he was like, you know, me and Ricky only knew each other for a week before we got the belts. And, like, that's crazy. Like, that should be part of the story. Like, it should be, like, these guys don't know each other. They managed to pull one over on FTR. I don't even know if they cheated to get the belts. I know it was a squash, but I don't remember it. But it doesn't matter. But
I don't think they did. Maybe
we should be watching them basically be the worst little rat heels with, like, constantly defending and constantly cheating, barely holding on, like, with their teeth, and then the next challenger ends up getting it off them because they're in a situation where they can't, like, they're separated or whatever, and they can't, and it's like, oh, actually, when you have to fight as a real tag team, you don't know what you're doing because you don't know each other. Yeah. Like, that would be so fun, and then all of a sudden I would be like, oh, like, this is a worthwhile story. But Manolo's right. If they lose, they're not going to get their comeuppance.
Well, I feel like Ricky's got talked himself up into the situation where he thinks he has so much dignity that he won't, like, do silly little guy stuff, and that is what they should be doing.
It's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that Ricky has such an aversion to being a silly little guy, because he's so good at it. When he wants to be, he's really good at it. Those are all the times that we liked him and we're rooting for him. Mm-hmm. Now we're not. We don't. What do you guys think about FTR in this match?
The men who've ruined the tag division.
I am so curious about what the hell happened. I'm in a Discord with Aaron Rutkowski, and he said, I think that FTR has politicked so far that, like, nobody trusts them, and they interfered in too many things. And I just keep being like, but for what? Like, what?
And how?
What was their goal? Yeah, how? Right. Who? How? What? Where? When? Like, none of this really makes sense.
I'm quite interested in the backstage mechanisms and machinations, because I think it's like we all feel like, we were pretty clearly moving towards Bucks FTR for Full Gear, because you set up this friggin' title shot thing and then immediately dropped it, and they dropped the belts, and it's kind of like, okay, so this is crazy. But it's like, they can't just, like, it's like Tony has to be signing off on this shit. God knows why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just wild for them to have power, because it's like, at one point they were very over and people were very into them, but that's long in the past.
It's a long at this time point.
And they did that. Like, they destroyed their own, like, cred by being the most whiny, like, jerks on Twitter. Like, they're not over anymore because Dax wouldn't shut up.
Because Dax is horrible.
And he still hasn't.
And because they're so boring. Like, they have all this creative control and they can't think of anything original to save their lives. They just want to do Bret Hart tribute stuff.
Can you believe that Dax was on Twitter, like, last week being like, I know some people won't like to hear me say it, but I think that comedy wrestling has its place, but it should be a flavoring and not the main course. And it's like, of course you don't think it should be the main course. You're not funny. funny.
You're completely incapable of doing it. Yeah.
And like
how interesting.
That would be something you could say if you pulled, like, almost like a BCC sort of thing, where, like, they came into the tag division and, like, were cleaning up, right? Like, they were like, the tag division is going to be, like, serious. We're going to do these things. Like you just tell that he's, like, you know, like, let's treat this seriously. They're barely on. They're only ever on collision. They didn't defend that many times. Their defenses mostly sucked and didn't have like any kind of like build up or like didn't make sense. So it's sort of like you can't criticize something that you don't do well, you know? Like,
yeah,
if you're gonna say, well, I think that people should wrestle like this, you kind of have to be able to come from a point of view of like, as somebody who does wrestle well. Well, I mean, he does wrestle well. But
he does. I don't know. It's like his personality is inflexible, and their wrestling style is inflexible because it's like they can only have good matches with people who are like willing to do their style with them. And like, if they're wrestling luchas, they can't do it. Like, they're bad. So it's like they're just very limited, I feel like.
Well, for me, the big thing is like, I know that I get on this podcast and I say people should do this and people should do this and I want to see this. Like, that's great. But at the end of the day, I think that people should do something that's really, really good for what it is. And that'll always get me. It will. We've been on this podcast many times being like, this totally wasn't for me. And yet I was enraptured because it was just the best possible version of what it was. Like that, it's so boring to me. Anybody who's like, there should be a type of a main, there should be a main dish in anything. It's like there isn't. Yeah. It's like any dish can be the main in its moment if it's the best version of that dish.
We've said it before. When people do things that are good, that's good. And that's people good. Who do things that are bad, that's
you can't
bad.
Get this analysis anywhere else. It's the only
but
place
it is
on
true.
The internet.
I mean, but AEW has always been like a variety pack of like many different styles and vibes and everything. And it's like if FTR was like trying to do their thing really well without being such little bitches about everything else, and if they like allowed themselves to have a little bit of fun once in a while, it might be fun to watch. But it's not.
I just imagine, you know, the meme like they don't even know meme. It's just me saying they don't even know it's a pantomime. They don't even know it's a variety show. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about possible outcomes for that match in the next second because of some of the cross dependencies to bring a little business lingo into it.
You gotta clear the dependencies have to go with it.
You don't want to separate them. Okay. So, the second match we have here, this is the Young Bucks versus the Golden Jets, Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. So the Bucks and the Golden Jets both had big matches on Dynamite this week. So we'll start by talking about the Bucks versus Penta and Commander. This was in Ontario, California. Very supportive hometown crowd for both teams. Really fun vibe. Really pleasant to watch.
Extremely fun.
Really nice crowd.
Everybody was having a good time.
They treated our sons well.
They chant for Bucks. They say, let's go Young Bucks. To hear it. Really good stuff.
The Young Bucks caught the luchas.
They
Fantastic.
Caught them so good. I mean, every time they had to, I would say they did catch them.
And at no point did anyone get thrown into a table. It's fine.
No, not. I was going to say not unless they were supposed to, but I don't think there were any tables. So this match was super fun. I mean, it's like, do you have anything you guys want to flag? Like, it just was a blast. It was
just. Yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like the moment they came out, like, and I heard like Super Kick Party, I was like, oh, like I get to have fun now. And that's okay. That's nice. I'll just easily do that. And I did.
Yeah, and it was fun. And Commander was like running on that top rope without even holding anybody's hand. And I mean, they were doing some crazy stuff. It was
some of those moves
they can do. Yeah, it just defies physics.
It's wild.
We've seen a lot of wrestling moves now, so I can't name most of them, but usually when I see it, I'm like, I know that guy. There were quite a few moves in this match where I was like, I don't have a fucking clue what just happened. I do not know what that was, but I really enjoyed it.
I saw people complaining about the four-way, like, everybody, like, kept hitting the wrong, like, cadence.
That's what they like.
And, like, I loved that. It was like everybody just kept missing their opponent in a row, and then they all kipped up in the same moment. I loved that, especially because we've seen the Young Bucks do that with the Lucha Brothers a bunch of times because it's like that's their soulmate. But I thought it was kind of like pretty like cool that they were able to do with Commander too, because like I was watching it the next day too. I watched it this morning again too, and I like backed it up a bunch of times. They really were like on perfect beat. It's like,
welcome to the family, Commander. Welcome to the family. So they won by cheating. So Nick need someone in the groin. Is that right?
Yeah.
Both of them.
He yeah. kicked oh, he, both oh, he the did, hand he did commander. Both, yeah.
He did both.
He's a little boy. Well, Matt was pretending to be hurt in the corner.
The ref was pretty concerned.
Yeah. Well, when Matt's selling, who wouldn't be? And so then the Bucks healed their way backstage. Lexi Nair was like, why did you guys cheat? It's just like, Lexi, come on. You met him. Like, was everyone, even commentary was acting like, I can't believe that we just saw Nick Jackson do that. And it's like, can't you? I can't.
Once someone face turns or heel turns, everyone just agrees to collectively forget everything they've ever done before.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of willful amnesia. So Lexi was like, why'd you do that? Matt said, sources are telling me the Young Bucks just don't give a damn anymore. And the interview was shortly thereafter interrupted by Kenny and Jericho. So we had another little back and forth where Kenny had his put upon, like, well, guys, stop doing this vibe. And Matt and Nick reiterated that their problem is not with Kenny. It's with Chris Jericho. So Kenny was dressed to wrestle, but Chris Jericho was still dressed in, they had done this promo package where they're all wearing suits, and he was dressed in the suit. And I did think this was the first time Chris Jericho was kind of taking Kenny by the shoulders and being like, oh, we don't have to listen to this. Come on, let's head back this way. I was like, okay, that's a Don Callis vibe. Like, yeah. That mm-hmm. is, yeah. This is Kenny being managed and going into his little mind palace.
Where he's just like, the nice man from Winnipeg tells me where to go and what to do. That soothing accent just feels right.
Kenny Winter Soldier, his conditioning kicked in. And then Matt attacked Jericho, so we had some brawling, fisticuffs, et cetera, et cetera. Any thoughts on either more on the match or on where we're at with the storyline as we head into full gear?
I think I'm less annoyed than I was last week because I very much appreciated both on Instagram and in this promo that they were like, we're not actually mad at Kenny. Like, this is, mm-hmm. this is just about Jericho, which did make me feel a little better because I was like, okay, like, because we're not, like, it felt like an insane, like, rushing of all the vibes. So I felt a little mm-hmm. bit better about it. Also, to be honest, when Nick's Instagram just being like, well, it was this or not be on the show. I was like, well, babe, all right. When you put it that way, of course
then I love this it. Match.
Then I support it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought this promo was great. I feel like there were a few things in this show where I was like, this individual instance was good. It is what they should have been doing all along. Like, I feel like they're like scraping the trash off the floor and like putting it together to try to make it like a nice meal. And it's like, it's not really a nice meal, but it's like, it's closer, you know? Yeah. It's yeah. like, we're trying. So I yeah. appreciate that.
Yeah. I think, well, it might tie into this next point. So let's talk about, do you think that as we, like, going into this match, it's really hard for me to know what I'm seeing because of my perception of the characters slash what they are trying potentially to tell us. Is there a clear face heel dynamic for you in this match or no? Like,
I don't think so. I think it could go really either way. I think Kenny hasn't cheated and he hasn't done anything wrong, but it's not because he has moral fortitude right now. You know, like, none of the behaviors he's exhibiting are like, I believe in what I should be doing. It's that he is incredibly absent, you know? So, like, yeah. I don't yeah. really think that he's playing hard face, you know?
Yeah. I don't think so either.
And, like, yeah. the Bucks, like, did a strong heel turn this week, but also Jericho turned up the Don Callis vibes,
right.
And like last week Kenny called them sissies, so like, yeah,
that make me mad too,
right? Which, I mean, that's my favorite part about the Elite is when they are doing something where it's like, well, you can agree with any side of it if you look at it, like, if you look at it long enough.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I really, and this is where I'm like, I don't really know how they're going to pivot out of this whole thing. And we'll talk about that in a minute, like where we're going in the next cycle, basically. So that might be impacting what they are or aren't saying. But I keep wanting the Bucks to just straight up be like, Kenny, babe, you love getting brainwashed and look at it happening again. And we love you, but look at how this man is treating you. Okay. And maybe we need to go to therapy and just come to terms with the fact that Don happened and that was really bad. And that's a really rough, bad man, but we got to live our lives, don't we, babe? We've just got to, and we can't just find another man to order us around. We can't do that. And I would like a little bit of that to be coming through in these promos, because I keep being like, we're not communicating.
And it's so accessible. Because I mean, we honestly, like, I feel like everybody's had that friend that like has a terrible boyfriend, and you hate the terrible boyfriend, and she brings the stupid boyfriend everywhere, and she's always on the edge of breaking up with him, but she never does. And then finally she does, and you're like, oh my God, her life is finally going to turn around. And then 2 weeks later, she's like, I met this guy on Hinge, and it's the same kind of guy. Yes. And you're like, You just got rid of that first guy. Like, why are we doing this again?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time.
A perfect little tale, because honestly, it would be very easy for Kenny to say, who are you to talk to me about immediately getting another bad boyfriend? Very rich. Very rich talk, Mr. Kettle.
Well, that is what I think could be, assuming that they're all going to try and that this is not Lucy and the football again, that you also could make the argument that, like, that the Bucks, like, have, like, they've got this vibe right now where they're like, you did this. Like, we were here to play nice. Like, we were going to be the good guys. We were going to be the faces. We were going to do, you know, the way things were supposed to be. And you just made us so mad. So fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck Chris Jericho. Fuck this, you know, fuck doing the right thing. Fuck the refs. You know, I'll cheat. I don't care.
Fuck, and it's like the whole damn thing.
Yeah. And that's
what, like, is the poem I'm thinking of? We'll post it.
It's a very interesting vibe from them, because it's like, well, like, it, like, do they hate Jericho enough to cheat and steal the win away from Kenny and Jericho? And if they do, does Kenny care? You know, like, it's just interesting.
Yeah. So Kenny and Jericho and the whole Don Callis faction, they had their big Sega Dreamboat match, Yakuza Dream House match for boys.
You can really tell that we don't play video games, because, like, all men are immediately like, oh yeah, that video game, definitely.
It's like King of the Dragon, or it's like Dragons on the Street, or something like that.
I thought for apparently sure that I had imagined the word Yakuza, because I was like, ha ha, isn't it funny that it sounded...
I felt foolish afterwards, because I was like, we laughed so hard.
We laughed. But that was right. It was the Yakuza.
Jeff immediately messaged me, and he was like, you guys were dead on with the Yakuza. And apparently it was, you, Jeff. In the English language world, they did, that was the name of it, but now they've, like, more directly translated the Japanese or something from the Like a Dragon. So, So we know a lot about video games, and you can tell with every word we say.
Well, you play video games, Anne.
I do, but I play, like, nerd history video games.
Well, I think that's really cool, and I like that.
I'm like building a dynasty in medieval Europe is what I'm doing in my video games, so it's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. Okay, anyway, they had that big match. I don't think we really have time to get into it, nor should we, but I want us to skip to the part where we talk about how the outcome of this match and the outcome of the FTR match are hanging there in the balance, and we are living simultaneously in four possible realities. And some of them are really uncool and unchill realities.
Just think that we're right now in Schrodinger's box, and by the time this podcast comes out, the box will be open and we'll be dead or alive.
I know. The tiger right now, will be out. While in there, the cat became the tiger. The tiger will be out. So we have it. We could have, oh my God, because whoever wins Bucks versus Golden Jets gets the tag belt challenge. Gets the tag title belt. The title shot. Yeah. And whoever wins this other match will have the titles. So who do you think it will be? What's your worst case scenario and what's your best case scenario? Let's go with that.
Is worst case FTR versus Bucks? Maybe.
No. Because I don't think, because I do think that the Bucks would win.
Well, right? That's, so my worst case scenario is Golden Jets versus FTR. Like,
yeah. At least it's new, though. At least I haven't seen it a billion times.
I misheard that as nude. And
I mean, okay. It might be nude. I don't need it. No.
I don't need to see that.
I only want to see one of those four men nude, so.
And it's yeah. Chris Jericho.
Yeah, of course it is.
That those man's
sunken breasts.
Charisma. You know we go for big, you know we go hard for Big J.
All day.
All day for all day for Big J.
Out there canvassing okay. for Jericho. We would not ever vote for Jericho for anything. No. Okay?
He might do except
maybe Hall of Fame. He's probably already in there. No? Is he?
I would love to know that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing to know.
If the Bucks don't make it into the Hall of Fame this year,
we can't.
You'll
even.
Already know.
I don't really understand the Hall of Fame, but what I do understand
I know
is
what
that
I want.
It's an honor that yeah. most people, like, they do a very interesting thing. This is a crazy sidebar. That people are doing a crazy thing where it's like, this is the first year that the Bucks are eligible. And it would be really surprising and an incredible achievement if they got in on their first year. But everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion that they will. So I'm like, so you agree that there's superlative wrestlers who change the world, then why is the discourse like this?
But that's like setting them up for a situation where it's like a politician you expect to win, but then like the other guy like exceeds expectations by losing, but not by as much they thought he was gonna lose by, and then it's like, why are we all crazy? This is ruining America.
All right. Worst and best, whatever.
Yeah.
I think
That
I will be disappointed if the Bucks lose clean to
we fucking
Kenny
ripped it. I'm going to be mad as fucking hell.
Absolutely.
To Kenny and Jericho?
Not even drift compatible.
No.
It's wrong.
No.
It's not right.
I think my best case scenario, I have, okay, I'm going to say this even though it's cutting a little head to the swerve stuff too, because it has to. My, if I got to fantasy book right now, it
you
would
can.
Be. I'm gonna.
You are allowed.
So dangerous.
I am. Granted.
Okay.
In wrestling discourse, you're gonna fantasy book? Wild.
It's
wild decision, but go ahead.
It's just incredibly stupid because by the time this airs, people are gonna be like, you stupid bitch.
You
don't
didn't
call,
know the future.
Guys, don't call us stupid, okay? We're just trying to laugh. We're just trying to laugh and have fun, okay? So be nice to us from the future. So go ahead, Leah. You do your little fantasy booking.
I want the Bucks to win by cheating. And I want Kenny to be goddamn horrified. Like, I want him to be like possibly like pushing them and being like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Right?
That would be healthy for Kenny.
And then
show a little life,
The Hangman match, I want Hangman to come out alone. But then have a moment where the Bucks come, like, either out from underneath the ring or, like, some from the crowd or something, and they help Hangman cheat. And Hangman wins by cheating.
Oh,
and in that moment, they all turn heel, and then they turn around and see Kenny standing there being like,
my good boys? What happened to my good boys?
And finally, Kenny's face... He feels something. He's like
he's
horrified.
Awake.
Yeah, he's awake. Mm. What has happened? That is my fantasy.
Doing the ice bucket challenge, kind of, but with all his friends turning heel. Just the shock of it.
The
How
dopamine rush. Yeah.
Well, I hope he thinks like maybe this is a little bit my fault. Because maybe I should have been taking care of my mental health a little better.
It is. I'm like. You had the leashes around the Bucks. Like, they are terrible, horrible little monsters. You didn't feed them. You didn't keep their cages, like, you know,
oh my God,
with.
It's animal abuse.
What kind of animals are they in this metaphor?
Like,
they're legitimately cats that Kenny has on a leash. On one leash.
All right.
Cut all of this. What are we talking about?
This stays in.
I don't know. I've lost the thread, but I'm loving it.
I just mean, like, I think, like, yes, like, should the Bucks be responsible for their own actions? Maybe. But in reality,
so debatable.
Look what you made me do is correct when it's
yes,
the Bucks.
Yes!
Listen,
yes.
I thought we already had this whole discourse where initially people said, Taylor, you shouldn't have said that. But then in time, they said, well, Taylor, it's a great song. Look what you made me do. I would love, and I love the idea of Hangman just being like, yeah, look what you made them do.
Hangman's like, he's like, he's going heel for like a more intense like reason than just being kind of a brat, but like he's like, yeah, no, that's fine. We're gonna rip this, like we're gonna burn this place down. I don't care.
That feels like, really right. Yeah.
Oh, my baby was Menace, but Kenny was kind of mean to you guys, and Jericho took up all the space in your dressing room. So yeah, we're both kind of
we're all Nat. We are all suffered.
Well, I like the idea though that Hangman knows, like he's like, I'm entering a long dark night of the soul. Things have happened to me that I can't reckon with except to embrace my own deepest, darkest impulses and really experience them. And you guys are little shits. That can be a family, is someone who understands his own emotions that deeply, and just two little brat boys who are like, we're bad now. I mean, like, yeah, Kenny.
We just don't give a damn anymore.
You hung out with someone who was mean to our dad. Now we're serious.
For some reason, the fact that Matt went for the damn instead of a shit, like a shit kind of would have been to me like, yeah, you sound mad, but a damn really was like, it was like when Kenny does his hokey Canadian Clark Kent talk, yeah. Where it's yeah. Like, what are you guys doing? You're back there, you're drinking malted root beers.
Just a big frosty glass of milk, and yeah. He kind of sounded like he felt like he was being daring, saying damn, too. It was.
He cute. Absolutely did. He was like, mm-hmm. I know they'll come for me for this. Okay, Hangman cut a promo on Collision. In which he was like, let's go to hell, babe. And he set a stipulation for his and Swerve's match, that's number 3 on the list, for Full Gear, which is that it will be a Texas death match. That's the Hangman special. I don't know what the rules to that match are, and don't try to explain them. No. I don't care.
By the way, just speaking of death matches, the fluorescent lights in my basement have gone out, and so my dad came over to help like change them out, and so now, and he's buying me new ones, which is super nice of him. But so I just have 2 fluorescent light tubes like sitting on my dining room table because nice. It cannot break; it's very dangerous, and you have to dispose of them properly. But every time I walk past them, it's like an intrusive thought that I should hit someone with them. So it's good I live alone.
Oh my god. Can we just briefly say that I fucking lost it in the stupid Sega match when Ibushi had the pipe in his hand and he was just bonking people as if it was like a wrapping paper tube. Like, that is how he was treating people. Where he was just running around on the bike, just going,
on the and a shaky bonk for bike. You, like,
and a bonk for you.
It was like a little bunny foo-foo. Yes. I don't want to see you scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head. Okay, so then on Dynamite, Hangman and Swerve met in the ring, and there was a provision that if either of them laid a hand on the other, I think it was like, what was the phrasing? If they engage in physicality or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Then their Full Gear match would be canceled, and they'd be suspended. They'd be suspended until 2024. Very great promo from Hangman with some amazing face acting. From Swerve, I did mean to bring the transcript, but I forgot it, and we don't really have time to get into it anyway. And the segment concluded with Hangman beating up Prince Nana as a kind of a sublimation of his intense physical feelings for Swerve, and the men will get to fight at Full Gear. What do you guys want to talk about? Like it? Do you like it? I liked it.
I was very like, oh, they're not allowed to touch. That's no good. But then it was like when they were held back from touching, when they wanted to touch so badly.
It's kind of like that Regency, you know, it's that Regency vibe. It's the flex hand where it's flex just hand, like, exactly. Oh my God. Mm.
The look on Swerve's face when Hangman was beating up Nana and like Swerve couldn't do anything about it. Like his face was so perfect. Like he's nailing it.
Don't you think there was that element of, it's not just like, I can't stop you from beating up Prince Nana, but it's like, that should be me. Your hand should be on me. Don't you think? Like, this is what wrestling is.
Yeah.
You touch him, you're supposed to be getting physical with me.
Our bodies are supposed to be pressed on top of each other in the ring.
We were made for each other in this moment. You touch another man.
Yeah.
You bring beat the crap out other. Of him? My God, it's enough to make you not give a damn anymore. It really is.
Yeah. It was such a good promo from Hangman. It's again a segment a little bit where it's like the segment itself was great. Wish they'd done it like 3 weeks ago, probably. We are kind of scraping trash up a little bit, although this one has been better. But I do feel like I kind of judge a lot of these segments by like, am I more excited for their match or less excited, or do I not care? And I'm extremely excited for this match. So
Yeah.
I think ultimately, I think this was a great go home promo. Like it is kind of like, should it have happened earlier? Maybe, but at the same time, would you want it to happen earlier than this week? You would not, because you want this to have happened this week. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, what do you need?
A promo earlier, though. Yeah. Like, you're right that it is a good go-home one, but...
This I would not have changed a single bit of it in the timing. I think it would have gone a long way. That match, the week after the home invasion, where they had to fight, like, Gates of Acne, if there had been a backstage segment right before the match where Hangman was like restlessly moving around in the dressing room like a caged bull, and the Bucks were like, come on, we need you to focus up, we're gonna do this, we're going to Wendy's afterwards to figure out a revenge plan.
We're gonna say that they're going to the police or something.
No, I believe Tony Khan gave an interview where he was like, this is not for the authorities, they saw it in the ring. Why would I call the authorities?
Why would my wrestlers ever need the law?
I think most of the criticism that people have boils down to he shouldn't have just walked out to the ring that
I agree.
Week.
They just missed some beats this whole time.
Yeah. I think I've just landed on, perhaps I'm landing on the side of those beats didn't have to be a full promo, because I think I'm in a little bit of like an if I hated you less, maybe I could talk about it more mode, where it's like if that was his immediate reaction, if you had something that just shucked a hat on it, that hung a lampshade on, just like I'm so viscerally angry that I can't do a promo. I can only lunge and hurt and hit, and then you can have him do the promos later the way he did, then it would be fine. But I agree that the problem is that he came out and did his match like a good boy.
Yeah.
He's not a good boy. He's going to hell. He wants to. It's his choice. I wouldn't send him there. That wouldn't be my choice. I'd send him to heaven.
I would do anything to get to smoke Prince Nana's weed for Hangman.
The crowd immediately started chanting steal his weed. It's just like, great work from everyone.
You know what? Hangman knows what he's doing. He's a great promo.
It's a great promo.
Some would like to deny it. Who is going to win this match?
I think it has to be Hangman.
I think it does too.
But I'm not.
I mean,
I'm not
I'd
sure.
like it to be, but I don't. I really feel like I have no idea who's going to win this.
And I honestly am not sure that I'd be mad in either way. I want Hangman to turn heel at the end, and like if they don't have some kind of character thing for him at the end, either way, I think that it would be disappointed. I don't know that I'll be disappointed if he loses. I think I'll just be disappointed if he loses in a boring way.
I agree. I agree with that, because both of these men have given me so much in this feud. Swerve is a new son and a rat boy. Yeah. And it's not that I will be mad about either of them losing, but I think I really like your suggestion, Leah, that may have been jossed by the time people hear this, that Hangman win in a way that is insane and perhaps illegal. Maybe. And that he turns heel, and that then maybe we have a long simmering resentment between these men that we can ride out for many years to come.
These guys had such good chemistry. I was thinking during this episode, I was like, some wrestlers are just always bringing like a great physical anger, sexual chemistry. Like Mox does it, like Hangman does it. Yeah. Just like every feud is just like, ooh, you want to touch him. And I Love it.
The vibe, yes. I think all of our favorite feuds have this simmering vibe of like, we're either going to fight or we're going to fuck. And I honestly do not give a shit which one it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't know, don't care.
And Swerve's been bringing such good energy that way too. It's just like chef's kiss. Right.
It's like that horse at the starting line vibe of just like, let's just get in there and find out. I can't wait to find out what happens when we get in there together. Girl, me too. Okay. Should we move on? Did I miss anything you wanted to say about that?
No.
We got to move on because we're at like an hour.
So Chris and Willow cut a, I think we are in the, you know, we're sliding down the slope. Chris and Willow cut a promo on Collision about Chris's full gear match, which was going to be a three-way against the winner of Willow versus Julia Hart and the winner of Sky Blue versus Red Velvet. So Julia Hart and Sky Blue won those matches and will face off against Chris. I don't think we have any new developments to talk about here in terms of like the underlying psychological stuff. The situation is that Julia is the OG Mist girl. Sky Blue also has Mist and doesn't like Chris for reasons I don't understand, but that seem to predate the Mist, and Chris doesn't have any Mist. So I think that's what's going on here. What do you want to talk about?
I'm real curious what the blue Mist that Sky Blue is, like, what does it do? I don't know yet. I don't know if I'm ever going to find out. Love to know.
It hasn't given anyone blue eyeliner yet.
I don't think so. Although who I did know
she?
Well,
she
Julia.
Only did to Julia, and it would have been funny if Julia like slowly started putting on Scooby Doo gear and being like, "I'm suddenly not going spooky. What's happening to me?"
I'd love it if Julia had like a lot of different incarnations and always like was a Mist preceding, and then it's just like, I guess I got to be a Scooby-Doo girl.
I guess I got misted. I unfortunately, in the middle of this conversation just now, went to Arrested Development. I blew myself, and that that is probably where I'm going to be staying intrusive thought wise every time we talk about Sky Blue for the rest of all time. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So it's the Blue Man Group. Do you think that Chris is going to win and retain, or could one of these women actually get the belt?
I thought it was pretty obvious that she was going to retain, but like I've seen a lot of talk that people think that like she might lose it, which
to who? I'm like, to Julia?
I don't, to either.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not what I'd recommend.
I think Chris should keep it for sure. Yeah, and I was assuming she would, so that's interesting.
For me, I certainly think that she should keep the belt. I really like Julia Hart.
Yeah.
I don't know that that she's in a place where I am fully like, yes, let's watch her have a title run. Sky Blue, I'm in kind of an even slightly worse place with, where she's just been getting what seems like a really big push. And I would say the results have been a little more middling than I would have expected. And I do appreciate that they're doing a Mist-based storyline. And I do like that it's a storyline, but they're not giving me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sky Blue is
it's not
just like
such a good storyline that I want to give up Chris being an amazing wrestler to watch it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And Sky Blue's just rough in the ring a lot, so yeah.
And you know I never feel really like I should be talking about how people are in the ring. I don't always love it. Yeah. I don't. So, well, we'll see what happens, I guess. Do you think there could be Mist-based shenanigans in the match?
I would not be surprised. I would assume there's going to be.
I want the Mist storyline to progress. So, like, I was a little disappointed that it didn't this week, particularly. So
It's just not a no for me. Like, it is, like, I think it's progressing a little weirdly. I would not have done the Blue Mist. I don't know exactly what Sky Blue is up to. But the thing is, I ultimately do, like, I'm interested. I'm like, what are we doing here? So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I do think there's got to be Mist involved. I don't know why I was like, do you think there'll be slapstick involved about, like, a Three Stooges comedy? Do you think anyone's going to slip on a banana peel? Okay, Allie. Yeah, I think the Mist will probably factor into things. Oh, I don't want
want to do this.
Okay. All right. It's okay. So our fifth match is two matches. So it's MJF versus the Guns and MJF versus Jay White. So it's defending the ROH tag team belts and the big boy belt for big boys. And so this week on Dynamite, we had Samoa Joe squashing a jobber and then cutting a promo about his inevitability. The Guns also squashed some jobbers and cut, I would say, a slightly even less memorable promo. Backstage, we got another Roddy segment in which he was once again trying to convince a teleconferenced in Adam Cole that MJF is the devil, and Adam Cole hung up on him. Finally, MJF closed out Dynamite. So this is after the streetcar named Desire match. This is after one of the matches. We ended with MJF doing this promo being like, I've tried to reckon with the sins of my past, but people around me keep getting hurt, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to the Acclaimed, and all I can do is try and do my best. Like, something like that, where I was like, try to reckon with the sins of your past, babe. Come on. Girl, footage not found. Jay White came out. Jay White was like, girl, you are the villain. You are the masked devil. You are the bad guy. You always have been and you always will be. And then he had Juice and the Guns attack MJF. Samoa Joe was watching this all on a screen backstage. We also had another Wardlow promo, which I'm only mentioning because Manolo brought it up and I was like, oh, okay. He said that Wardlow's appearance came in a training montage. He smashed in the ring while narrating that MJF's time is running out. Wardlow saw fear in the devil's eyes. He was referring to MJF's devilish behavior. However, the masked devil flashed on screen to close the scene. And Manolo didn't know how to interpret that. But for the first time, because I kept being like, why is this happening to me? You know, like, why does Wardlow keep doing stuff? And suddenly I was like, oh my God, is Wardlow actually going to factor into this match somehow? Like, dead-eyed, dark-voiced. Is Wardlow going to do something in this match? In one of the matches? So I didn't like realizing that. No. Who do you guys think that the devil is? Do you believe that MJF is the devil?
I have a really hard time answering this because I'm just so sick of all of the discourse about MJF that I'm ready to have the answer. So it's like, if it's MJF, okay, fine. So then we end the baby face, like, can he be a baby face discussion? Fine. Great.
We cut off, not, the baby's face.
Cut off the baby's face. No. So then he goes back heel. Fine. Sure. Whatever. Okay. If it's like all of the other options that people have thrown around, at least maybe it'll have it step forward. But like, ultimately, I don't really care if it would just progress.
Yeah. Everything's just so exhausting with the storyline at this point that it's like not even fun to think about. And I was like, it's probably Jack Perry, whatever, but which I would love to see him. And I think it is him, but it's like, then I was thinking, like, we're adding Jack Perry to this mix. Like, how many people are going to be in this horrible stew? You know, like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's Jack Perry, too. I am a little confused, though, about how Jack Perry would slot into the many, many aspects of this storyline that are already ongoing. And so at one point we did think, do we still think that Roddy is in the devil's crew? Remember that one time that it was, he had the neck brace on?
Probably. I do think probably. I don't know.
I think so too. I don't think that the devil is Adam Cole. I think that Adam Cole really is hurt, although yeah. I can't wait to get Jost. But we are at the point with the Adam Cole calls where I think we've all been like, we can't be calling Adam Cole anymore. But this week, because they did basically the same exact segment they'd done the week before, I was like, are you actually trying to tell me something? Like, is this actually going to lead to something? Is Adam Cole doing something shady? Like, it was one more than, like, last week I was like, we did too many. But the way they did this one more too many, I was like, I feel like you are worried that I'm not getting the message, and maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm not being suspicious enough.
Yeah. There is a point where you're like, how incompetent can they be at, like, telling a story? And then, like, maybe they're telling a totally different story that's horrible. Yeah. But
I really think, like, if it's Adam Cole, like, that they really risk doing some real damage. Because it's like,
yeah,
when enough people tell me that a man is hurt, I'm going to believe he's hurt. Like I it just, like, that would, the amount of also, people that would have to be worked for that to have happened.
What
like,
if,
I don't know.
It's also wild, like, if he was never hurt. Like, maybe he was just hurt, like, less than they said and then whatever. But, like, if he was never hurt and this is what they decided yeah. to do, because they threw so many wrenches in the storyline, it's surely not.
I don't think that can be right, because a friend of the pod, Blaine, was saying today, like, the way they responded after that had such a flailing quality that it's like, yeah. it had to have been real injury, which I fully agree with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. So I don't think it's going to be Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole is injured, but I guess I am a little bit like, is there someone, like, is it Bobby Fish? You know what I mean? Is he back
that,
maybe?
Oh my God. Option, and I have not seen that name brought up.
The
so.
Wrestler that's respected by all members of AEW. Oh
and
my God.
And you know why Bobby he's respected Fish. By all members of AEW? Because CM Punk got fired. I am connecting the dots. Well, but anyway, it does make me wonder, like, again, I think it's Jack Perry. I think it would be a very, like, it makes sense as a way to bring JB back into the fold. But just the fact that they're still doing those segments makes me be like, there's got to be something else going on here that I am not clocking right now. Or that the kingdom are gonna, I don't fucking know. Something has got to happen here.
I mean, I guess if like Roddy is in like the faction with the devil and the kingdom are too, then you're kind of like keeping them in, you know, and then he's trying to convince Adam Cole that it's MJF, like he's up to nefarious. I guess it kind of makes sense, but it sucks. So.
I guess, but then, you know what? I don't know. And I guess now I'm like, I'm out to dinner about it. I am just like, well, I guess we'll find out along with you guys later than you guys, actually, because we'll be watching the pay-per-view late. So you'll know everything and we won't know yet. Oh my gosh. Do you think that MJF, I don't think we know who he's going to tag with. I think that the thing that was on the table was that like Samoa Joe was like, I'll tag with you if you give me another title shot. So I think, does that sound right? Like, do you remember this?
I don't remember that, but that would make sense.
Yeah. I think that was on the table at one point, and I do just kind of think that's what's going to happen. But whether it does or doesn't, do you think that MJF is keeping those tag titles? For God
he
knows what
he's got to get
reason.
Rid of it. He's got to drop
it. Good Lord.
A lot of people got to drop a lot of titles. Get
it's
him
wild.
Out of here.
It's wild that he still has them. Like, what are we doing?
He should have lost them to the Righteous.
Yeah. The Righteous were fun. I mean, they're still fun. They're on Collision.
The ROH.
We've lost them, so yeah.
I think they were on Collision this week.
Oh, were they?
I think they were.
Because they were in Jake the Snake's little army with Lance Archer. We're not even going to get to discuss that like at all.
It's just wild hearing those names at all. It's like, wow, things are happening on Collision. It's
come
another world over there.
Guys, we know this. The Righteous are in Jake the Snake's army.
Wow.
And do you think that MJF will be keeping his big, beautiful belt?
Yeah, he's not losing it to Jay White.
Yeah,
not this pay-per-view. No.
So I really do hope that Jay White gets like a good feud after this. I know this is a high profile feud, but it's unfortunate. There's so much going on that one can't really. I felt pretty bad for Jay White that he was getting like no response when he was promoing MJF. And it is kind of like, I like MJF. I'm not an MJF hater by any means, but sometimes when the crowd is responding to him so intensely, I do have a moment where I'm like, our culture isn't good. I don't think that people should like this as much as they do. Like, they just get so feral sometimes that I'm like, oh my God, we're at the RNC. Like,
if you're Tony Khan and you want to be like, thank you so much for your hard work, Jay White, here is a delicious feud for you. Who would you give him? I think it would be Darby for me, maybe.
Oh my fucking God. Oh.
Interesting.
That's interesting. That. Well, I would like him. I'd love it if it were someone he could. Who's like another good. I mean, for me, like, kind of sex wise, I'd want to go back to that hangman well, which, oh, yeah. Like, I just feel like those men could really promo each other and hurt each other and kiss mouth wise. So for me, that's it. Like, I was. Like, Darby is, like, not. I don't know that he's going to be able to get in that promo zone with Jay White, but. Maybe if they argue about, you know, conformity, it's not nothing. I agree.
Oh, I'm starting to feel like Jay White might not be for me. Like, I think I might have a thing where, like, Leah, how she feels about Brian Danielson's face. I think I don't know. He's not winning me over. So
I love when he says things in his Kiwi accent. He said something this week that I was like, that is the most funniest little comedy line of all time that I in this moment and am expected to take seriously. I don't remember what it was. Well, I hope he gets someone good. Okay, let's move on. We can't, unfortunately, I'm sorry, ladies, we can't stop here for long. Sheeta and Toni Storm are fighting again. And we didn't really get anything about it this week, I don't think. Toni Storm just met Mariah May, who is like her, loves her and wants to be her. And that, I think, is the only thing we got. And they're going to fight. Is that right?
Yeah. Toni Storm cannot be our third, can't be a third time champion. She just can't. No. I think
that would be fucking crazy. I do not understand why you would do that.
Timeless, they really haven't. Timeless Toni is working for what it's doing. But
for what it is.
Yeah. It can't stop world champ stuff.
This is not the podcast where you're going to hear us complaining about how Timeless Toni is ruining wrestling. We like Timeless Toni. It's a little harmless fun here and there. I think it's not a championship program.
Yeah. And it's interesting how little attention they put into this feud for a world title match. It's like, have these two interacted like one time? Just like, they chased her out once.
They had that sit down last week. They did, but it was like mostly, it's when Toni is doing her, what is it called? The Mid-Atlantic, it's not the Mid-Atlantic accent, is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. It is the Mid-Atlantic.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Doing her old-timey Mid-Atlantic. Sometimes it's like, I just can't hear what's being said, really. I'm just like, yeah. Okay, yes, and that's fine.
I was COVID boosted, and I, like, my brain was just absolutely 1,000% not working, and I just kept being like, can you guys hear that? Like, is that English? I can't comprehend.
Yeah. So, but anyway, but it was mostly she was saying something probably to Luther, and Sheeta was just looking like, what the fuck is this? Like, she looked really like she had been yanked into Roger Rabbit world. Like, yeah. This is crazy. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it would be crazy to do a title change. I don't think they should. Will Toni? Maybe. Probably. I guess we'll find out. Let's move on. OC and Hook fought Mox and Yuta on Dynamite. I missed this because I was babysitting most of it, and I didn't go back and rewatch it. So, do you want to tell me anything about it?
It was really fun.
Yeah, it was a fun match. Like, everybody did a very good job. I thought the ending was like the most important part, but mm-hmm. Yuta did a great job. Hook took the pin, yeah. Which was shocking.
Mox is immune to the orange punch, which really rattled Orange Cassidy. Yeah. So
the look on his face at the very end, he was slumped against the barrier. Oh my God. And he just looked
his little fist.
He looked very like shaken. And you're like, yeah. Ooh.
And Mox was bringing a real like sexual aggro energy to him promoing at the end as OC lay there. It was a good shot too. They've been doing some decent camera work sometimes.
I do think this feud is very interesting because OC has not been given that much to like time, but like he is doing a thing where it's like, okay, he won the belt kind of by accident ish like he just won it, and then he was like, oh no, I love this belt, and then the belt almost killed him because mm-hmm. he's trying to defend it and he lost it, and then he was like, oh, like I'm incredibly depressed and I don't know what I'm doing, and he managed to get it back, but now he's fighting the guy he lost it to, mm-hmm. and now he goes into it knowing what it's like to lose it, and his like his confidence just seems so shaky where he's just like Like, when you don't know how much something's going to hurt, you're less afraid of it. But the second time, you're like, oh, this is going to...
But sometimes that's where the strength comes from. When you know how bad you're going to feel if you lose it, sometimes that's how you get the energy not to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways that it could play out. It's interesting. And it's interesting to think about where OC's character could go from here, depending on these outcomes. Because I do think it would be... I think it would be really disappointing if he lost again and that, you know what I mean? And that's, well, in general, I think he should win. I think he should win. Because I'm like, Tony, if you got the guy opening every show, he's a main eventer. Like, I think he should win. But I know Mox never gets beat. I know that. I know.
He should get the win back. And but maybe OC, maybe the orange punch has lost its effectiveness, so he'll barely win against Mox, and then like have to move forward with.
Or maybe he'll have to find a new finisher.
Yeah, I mean,
do men ever? We're never seeing anyone debuting new finishers.
Their finishers. Is
that, am I crazy?
Is that a thing they do? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I can't wait to find out. I know that nobody beats Mox clean. I know that. But
well, CM Punk did. I think Orange Cassidy could too.
I've actually retconned that.
I believe in him.
I retconned that, and that didn't happen for me. But Hangman did, right? He choked him all the way out. He choked him all the way out.
Yes,
he tapped out. That's right.
Hey guys, he choked him all the way out.
That was hey Allie. That was really good. You remembered that?
Yeah, I got way to go.
Way to go. You could have 2 points. You could have 2 points for that. That was really good. You remembered that.
I'm dancing.
I don't know. I just feel like it's confusing to me because if you're purely looking at the story, then I think OC could do interesting things with losing because, like, he does have to, like, lose that belt. Like, he can't have, like, another year-long
You're right. And who else is going to beat him for the belt? You're right.
But, you know, the business side of it, I'm like, well, OC can't lose to Mox again. Like, he has to win this time. So I don't know what my answer is. Like,
but are we being WWE brained? Where we think it should be 50-50 booking?
I do think he should beat Mox.
That's another point for an accurate burn.
Wow. We can't be talking about 50-50 booking on this podcast.
We know too much. Time to shut it down. We learned a little too much.
I think he should beat Mox and then lose the belt in like a couple months.
Yeah. You know what? I stand by my thing where I think he should... I guess he can't. It's just the transitive property where I'm like, I know he can't lose. I know he can't beat Mox and lose to Yuta, but I'm like, yes, you can, because emotionally it's really different to fight your own child.
He can if Mox beats him up so bad that he's like, you know, in disarray.
I think the other thing happening here is that I don't really understand. I don't know what direction they want to take OC in. But I hope there is a direction. But I also don't really know what they're doing with BCC right now and, like, what direction they're moving in. Because Mox having the belt is not, like, I don't think that Mox is going to do a reign like OC's where he's not feuding that much. He's just, like, fighting guys to fight guys. Mm-hmm. I don't really see that for Mox. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that BCC should have a legit feud. Yeah. And so I guess I don't really know where we're headed with them.
I just suddenly remembered Bryan Danielson with his insane eye patch last night.
I think we really need to prepare ourselves for this Continental Classic thing. I think it's going to, like, we're going to have to really use our brain in order to navigate it. It's not like a regular tournament.
It's a round robin.
Yeah. Everyone fights everybody, I know. I have to say, I haven't even... I'm sure I'll have a lot of fun watching it, but I haven't even liked reading about it because I already am confused, to be quite honest with you. And everyone's excitedly saying, it's our G1. And I said, well, I haven't watched the G1 for a reason.
I'm lucky I know what the G1 is.
I wish that I could go back in time and be someone who didn't know about the G1, to be honest.
On One Nation Radio this week, they opened up our very favorite Wikipedia page, list of AEW personnel, sorted them into three categories of could be in the G1, would be an outrage, and has no business being there. And it was just so funny as they like scrolled down and like hit random names, and they were just like, Stu Grayson.
should we?
Stu. Stu's a good wrestler, guys.
But it was just one of those things where I was like, God, I've been there. When you're scrolling down that page and you're going, he still goes here?
He still goes here. I think we should consider, when Rich comes on, maybe asking him to kind of paint us a word picture of the G1. Like, not like, don't explain the rules to us, but Rich, take us there. You know, like, let us know, because we'll be in the Continental Classic by then, will we not?
I have no idea
when it starts.
When does this great event begin?
No clue at all. Should we get Rich to play the dating game too? Should we see if he has party? Mayhap.
We'll ask Rich if he wants to play any games. We'll be really respectful of our guest.
That's so nice.
Rich, we can't wait. Okay, let's talk about who's gonna. Oh, we already just talked about the whole thing. Fuck it. Okay. Let's talk about who's going to win. Bitch, what have we been doing here for the past 10 minutes? We've got to move on. This is our final match that we have, okay? Which is Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne versus Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, and Sting. I don't think any of us saw the content that these men produced this week. As mentioned earlier, I learned from Manolo that Lance Archer and the Righteous, who are Jake the Snake's army that he's been mustering to destroy Sting.
Okay? Oh.
Yeah.
They're going after Sting.
That's straight up their purpose, apparently, but they lost immediately because they fought Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, and Sting. They straight up lost. So
interesting.
They won't be defeating him army-wise. The Full Gear match is going to happen. And what I really wanted to check in about was, why do I have no memories of anything that's happened in this feud in the past month and a half? And I don't say it meanly. I'm not attacking anyone. This is just, it's anthropological inquiry, because I'm a Darby girl and I'm a Christian girl. I love watching them do their thing.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of it happening on Collision, but also I think that we're allowed to lay this at FTR's feet, because reportedly they were trying to finagle their way into a rated FTR match, and so this kind of put on hold for a little while that was being figured out.
What, while they were getting the opportunity to finagle? While they were being permitted to freely finagle?
FTR. It's ridiculous.
Allie, FTR should come to...
Yeah. Dax Harwood has beer-flavored nipples, and I think that you just need to...
And I want
to
suck on them titties.
It's the nastiest thing you've ever said.
I agree,
both of you.
But Anne, to be clear, I don't mean it. I don't think his nipples taste like... Well, they might taste like beer, but I don't want to suck them. I don't want to suck his nipples.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I needed to hear it.
I will be clipping it and using it out of context whenever I want to, though.
This is why you shouldn't be on a podcast. What was I going to say about it? I was just going to say, this is a really good idea. When FTR come to TV every week, I believe that they should be met at the door by a security guard who escorts them to a broom closet and locks them in together. They're permitted to change into their garment for wrestling. They have a bucket in the corner for pissing in. All of their needs are taken care of. Wow. Dax is banging on the door. He says, I need to talk to Tony. I've got an idea for Tony. Nobody listens. There is a security guard outside. He has earplugs in, so he can't get sirens seduced by Dax's beautiful, melodious voice. They stay in there until their segment. They are escorted to the ring. They wrestle. They are escorted out of the building.
Love that.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's tough, the new plan. Fair. That's what I think they have earned with their behavior.
Yeah. That's right. Put them in that office worker terrarium. Put them in the punishment cubicle.
Put them in the punishment cubicle. But this is even worse, because there's no window. But it's better in that there's a door.
It is locked, but...
It is there. I mean, the punishment cubicle can only be accessed by smashing through a window, either in or out.
Dax has got to go through that glass.
I don't know. Well, that might be it, Leah. I think
it is kind of a bummer, though, because, like, I was pretty into this at one point. low these many weeks ago.
You know, from Tony Khan's Full Gear press call today, I learned one of the first things that really interested me for some reason about Adam Copeland, which is that he will be starring in Disney Plus's Percy Jackson series.
Really?
And I never read those as Aries.
No. Really?
Have you read them?
Yes.
I never read them. But for some reason I saw that and I was like, wow, that's interesting.
It's getting out there.
Can you see it? Is it good casting or?
I don't think got an so. Interesting
I don't
expression.
Think so. I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know that man enough, but on what I do know, I think it's a weird casting.
He looked a little more like normal in the like it just face wise. He looked a little more normal. I watched the trailer, and the special effects look very, very bad, incredibly bad. Which, as we've said many times on this podcast, bring back. Practical effects.
Practical effects.
And that's right. We've always endorsed that.
Yes.
We're practical effects girlies. But it looks like a pretty bad show. But for some reason, I really like that he's involved. So.
It feels broadening. It's like, get out there.
And that seems like such a little wholesome bit of corporate synergy they could do. Like, to do a little Percy Jackson Olympians match and have everybody dress up as various gods and goddesses. That's not nothing. If you could get paid six figures or so, why not?
I would like that better than the mushroom drink. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If we're gonna do corporate synergy, that's the kind of stuff I would like. Rather than,
I mean, that's a low bar to exceed. But yes, I agree.
Well, I think 3 years in wrestling has really, like,
that's true.
It's lowered dampened our bar. My expectations.
Yeah.
Were you guys also interested in the reportage that the IWC received today about like how much they got paid for those for the Sega? Synergy?
No, I didn't see it.
The news was that they got paid six figures.
Whoa.
Well, but that like could be a little or it could be a lot. And I was thinking about our friend Hannah saying of wrestling, like, that's birthday clown money, which I think about all the time.
I do too. Whenever I think about Chuck Taylor wrestling for $250, it's like, well,
birthday clown money.
Wow, I could have purchased Chuck Taylor really easily at any time.
I wish I had known too.
Missed my shot.
If I could go back in time, that's the one thing that I would change. But it would be a really fun party. And I'd make him do tricks. Birthday, clown tricks,
earn
juggling and stuff. Yeah, he would earn it. Yeah. Okay. That's all I have on the schedule. Did I miss anything that anybody really wanted to talk about?
Imagine if, like, after 80 minutes of an episode that we're just immediately going to be jossed by me or Anne, we're like, we really need to talk about Daniel Garcia.
I would literally be like, dial it up, sisters. Let's freaking go. Because if you don't want to hear us say wrong stuff on the day that the day after the pay-per-view came out, then you're just not going to listen. Whoever's here for this podcast on this day, you know you're going to hear wrong stuff and you love it. You can't wait to hear us say the dumbest shit on earth that's wrong.
I hope so. I hope that some of our listeners treat our post-pay-per-view or pre-pay-per-view episodes like going to the zoo and seeing like the weirdest freaks you could find.
And well, it's kind of fun though, because you really have the ability, if you're listening to this now, you have really had the experience of listening to us say stuff and getting to say like, oh, they're happy right now, or oh, they are not happy right now. Those girls are mad. Wherever they are right now, those girls are mad.
Giving you a little temperature check, a little look. Yeah.
I will say before we sign off of Miro and CJ, they got Danny Garcia.
They are collecting.
They got him.
Yeah.
Boy. When CJ walks around with that bra and the jacket over the bra, I'm just like, well,
it really
this is WWE shit.
I think so too. It really takes you back to another time. And I always think, what would the Twitter menswear guy say? I know that this is I know that this isn't a cool oversized fit. It doesn't look like a well-made suit. It's not a beautiful fabric.
No. Mm-mm. The amount of discourse that we're constantly experiencing about what is WWE stuff and what's not, and absolutely no one has anything to say about the cuckolding shit that we're constantly seeing on our TV.
I think that they might be doing something more dignified than us, which is just pretending
not
to
see
it doesn't happen. Yeah.
It's a wise decision.
Like Miro. Like, I really do. And I normally think that he's a good promo, even when he's saying disgusting pervert shit. But the last night's promo, I was like, oh, this is Miro. That was bad. It didn't even make me like disgusted to be like, keep your heterosexual stuff in the bedroom, sir. It was like just more than I was like, oh, that was a bad promo, my friend. That was
Miro needs to come out of his isolation chamber and like interact with.
He's
got
to talk to somebody.
It's not good in there.
I just had a thought where I was like, is Miro and CJ, is it a little bit of a like a Samson and Delilah thing where she has this ability to bring him low and Tony let her come to the promotion. And so now that's what she's doing. She's stealing his strength. She's taking his hair. And then I thought, that is probably a sexual role play they do.
Allie, it probably is.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, there's almost nothing they haven't role played, probably.
That really sounds right.
It's interesting that she's managing Andrade because Andrade is Miro on a different software. Yeah. So it is sort of like, 100%. So is that, are you just going to start the process over again? Are you going for Andrade's hair?
Take his hair. Oh my God. Well, Miro doesn't have any, I guess. So yeah.
But he used to though.
He did. Okay. Yeah. Ladies.
I think we're on to something. I think we've connected some dots.
I made a joke about making us go back to Deanna Garcia, but we've done it. And it was actually a pretty good segment, and I'm glad we did.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Wow, guys. We did it. We did it, Joe. Okay. I think that's the show. We'll be back next week to talk to you about what we got right, what we got wrong. I hope you guys really enjoyed the pay-per-view. If you want some trading cards, the link will be on our socials. You can sign up for the giveaway. And I think that's all. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on wherever you get your podcasts. Come back next week.